Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like maggots in your ear hole.
Creepy.
Hey, yeah. Welcome to Superior.
Just seeing little cackle in the background is ridiculous.
it's like the evil villain and his like engine.
Are you guys ready to do it for real? Just kidding. How you doing, everybody? Welcome. It's Halloween. We're actually recording this on Halloween. All Hallows Eve.
All we need now is Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross.
There you go. Halloween spooks. Halloween spooks.
Is this Halloween party brought to you by Northgate Market?
This Halloween party is brought to you by Creepo Depot. I don't know who they are. I just know they left their recording on the machine before
really?
We came into the studio.
Yep. Creepo Depot.
That's the name of their podcast.
They into some weird
podcast.
Shit.
I thought it was like a store.
They're part of the Undercity family.
Is that right?
Yeah, they record here in the studio.
The Undercity family.
We've
never met the rest of them.
I've met one guy who does a podcast on the weekends. I forgot the name of their show, but I plugged it before. Ooh. So before we get on to our happy Halloween haunt, Justine and I have some unfinished business.
It's a little depressing. Yeah.
It is, right? You know what? It was more depressing last year. I'm still numb from last year, I think I told you, but the Dodgers did lose the World Series.
Oh, the Dodgers. Okay.
I'll tell you what made it worse. My cousin invited me to game five. Game four.
You were there for the, was it?
I was
how
there.
Many innings?
Eight? I was there for, no, that was the night before. The 18
I know, and it was going so well.
The 18 inning. Oh, yeah, we were cruising. Rich Hill was pitching his butt off, and
he was awesome.
They pulled him in the seventh, and after that, the wheels came off. And Puig's home run, Puig hits a home run, goes out. It's the loudest I've ever heard Dodger Stadium.
It was awesome.
We went nuts. We were sitting out in the pavilion.
I went nuts.
My cousin and I were like, yeah, 4-0 lead. We got this. And then it was like my first World Series game, I hit the highest highs lowest lows. And boy, I'll tell you what, leaving that stadium, I felt like I had just gotten punched in the gut.
The rug got swept out from your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was painful to watch.
But all credit to Boston was just a buzzsaw this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are now considered I was reading an article. Many sports writers are considering them the second best team ever to win a World Series, behind like the 27 Yankees.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Based on just pitching and
just
hitting.
Based on the ability of all the players. Mm. Yeah. Everything.
Wow.
So
since the 27 Yankees. Christ.
But all credit to them. They really, the Dodgers had no answer, and anytime they were able to do anything.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way: it took them essentially a doubleheader to be able to beat them one game.
Yeah.
And they remember, this is a team that took the Yankees out and they took the defending champion Astros out. So it was like, well, we have our work cut out for us. But I'll tell you guys a little story. Last week when we recorded, we had already gone through game one.
Mm-hmm.
We were down. I knew in my heart of hearts that we weren't going to win because I always look for these little omens.
Because you were going? Are you bad luck?
No, I wasn't going. I had no idea I was going then. I knew we were going to lose the whole series when David Freese, veteran, World Series MVP with the St. Louis Cardinals, lost that easy pop-up in the lights in game one that allowed Mookie Betts to get on base, and eventually he stole second and then turned it into a run. I knew then that we weren't going to win, but I couldn't, you don't want to admit it out loud. But those are these little things. You look for these things, you know, John?
You know, I am proud of them for going up again.
It's hard to do twice.
I mean, you did it twice. That's
and I know
good.
All these fans of inferior teams like the Giants are sitting here going, oh, you lost twice? Listen, you ask anybody if they would be in a position to go to the World Series twice in a row, win or lose, and they would all say yes.
That is pretty good.
It's easy to do. I don't know if we'll be there again next year, but they have a lot of young talent, as always.
They're all really
my man Puig came up clutch. Kike, where were you? Grandal, we need to get rid of that guy anyway. We don't want to turn into a bitch session. But Get that discounted World Series stuff right now. You can. You go to like Dick's Sporting Goods. It's all on discount. Yeah.
At Ralph's, there's a whole pile of like pennants and
And this is, please, next time, if the Dodgers do make it next year, don't buy anything with a World Series on it until after they win. I believe that's why we keep losing.
I'll wait.
I truly believe that's why we keep losing.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. So how are you guys? Everybody's good?
Yeah.
Great.
Everybody's good. Today's Halloween. What are our plans? What are you guys going to do tonight?
I don't know. You get mad when I mention other podcasts.
I have to go to a boring show because I'm a supportive husband.
Oh, you're going to the...
going to the My Favorite Murderer
live show.
Mm-hmm. I would much rather be hanging out with my friends. But...
So we'll be at LA Live because we're going to the Microsoft Theater.
Oh, nice, nice. Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to go for me?
I was there once to see Ennio Morricone, the composer of all the Dollars trilogy music, and then he got sick at the last minute and canceled.
That's right.
I was
that
so excited.
Been
yeah, no,
to see.
He was gonna conduct his own works.
He got sick, right? He's like 89.
Yeah,
or something.
He just doesn't travel a lot. And it was funny because we walked all the way up to the door of the theater, and there was just a little note like the 8.5 by 11 on the thing. It was like, show canceled today. Senor Morricone is not well. So that was a bummer. Shout out to Martin, you know, my old co-host. We went today, and then we went to go see it and didn't work out. We're still best friends. Jake, what are you doing tonight?
I'm working.
Tricks or treats? John, tricks or treats?
My holiday celebration was last night.
What did you do?
Alex and I went to Pasadena and caught the original Invisible Man
on
the big screen. And it was playing with Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Why even the moon's afraid of me?
That's right. It was a great print. It was wonderful.
I still think he's the best villain out of those.
He's a great one. He really is. And especially that first one with Claude Rains. Yeah.
Love it.
A lot of fun.
He has that voice.
Yeah. It's just so great to see a new print. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's the voice just gives you chills.
Here we go down. Yeah.
Even though we'd seen it a billion times, we're just sitting there like two kids just going, oh, isn't this the greatest?
It's like when I went to see Star Wars, the Hollywood Bowl. You're like, you know what? I can watch this movie forever. Yeah. So do you have any other old business before we get started? Real quick, I know this is the Halloween episode, but... Patrick, how are you liking Red Dead Redemption 2?
It is one of the most beautiful, well-made games I have ever seen.
Exactly.
And it's stunning. Like, even the first 2 minutes where you're walking through the snow, you feel cold, it looks beautiful, and it looks like the most realistic thing you've ever played.
And then when you get out of the snow and they kind of open up into the rest of the world, you're like, whoa, this looks amazing.
It's stunning. It is truly stunning.
I've covered an area that to me feels like probably about the same amount of area that's in the original game, and I only have about half the map uncovered. So it's a big, big, big map.
That's what she said.
Why would she say
that? I don't know.
Who'd she say that
to? So much unexplored.
Who'd she say that to? DeSoto?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. John, you're here. Jake is here. Patrick's here. Justine's here. We all watched some scary movies from the 1970s. From the 1970s.
Watergate. I am the ghost of Watergate.
I am the ghost of odd and even days for gasoline.
I am not a ghoul.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I just said I'm not a ghoul. But in Nixon's voice.
Do it again.
I am not a ghoul.
There you go. Fire.
Do
it, John.
They played that at work the other day, and I'm like, hey, it's my song, man.
I think of you whenever we hear it.
Were you like, turn it up?
Yeah, we got a new station. It's called 8-Track, so it's all 70s and 60s stuff. Really deep cuts.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, wow. The Incredible World of Arthur Brown.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that 60s music.
Would you?
Yeah.
It's all day long and really obscure stuff. You know?
What about the Bonnie and Clyde soundtrack?
It's like gunshots.
There should be a station that's just flat and Scruggs. Foggy Mountain Breakdown, 24 hours a day. Now that's scary.
Let's talk about. What do you want to talk about first?
The intro. I want to talk about the intro to the Digital Movie Club.
Wow. That's keeping things right on.
Psst, we need the intro.
By the way, I don't want to spoil it. I might spoil this for John. Cover your ears, John.
What's it about?
It's a slight spoiler about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, I heard it was not great.
Well, all musical, I mean, it's just a musical biography, so you're just basically going to see how they're going to work the songs in.
You know, the trailer, mm-hmm. people were like cheering.
Yeah, the trailer looks great.
People love Queen and Freddie so much, they're just going to go no matter what.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. Yeah. So but go ahead. I found the soundtrack on Google Play, and they actually do the 20th Century Fox theme as a Queen.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I want to hear it. You going to play it?
No, we can play it later.
Yeah, I hope it's good, you know? That tells you something. People are ready for this because people were like cheering. And you're like, wow. They're cheering. It's not the band, they're cheering the movie of the band.
Yeah. Of course.
I still want to go see it.
Chills.
I wonder if they got Brian May. I wonder if they got Brian May.
They probably did.
Yeah.
And since since this is a podcast, that was our review of the Bohemian Rhapsody
trailer.
Trailer.
What did you guys think of that version?
Trailer. 10 out of 10.
I love it.
I dig it. I'm excited. I want to see it still.
Yeah,
by the way, John, we talked about this before, and it's taken me years to come up with this, but people have asked me, if you were a baseball pitcher and you were coming out of the bullpen, what song would you want to introduce you? Because, you know, Trevor Hoffman had like Hell's Bells. Eric Gagne had Welcome to the Jungle. Kenley Jansen has Tupac, you know. But mine, you know what it would be? I'll play it right now. And you are going to. This is perfect because you need a couple of. You need a second for the crowd to get into it so they understand that, you know, what's about to happen.
Back in the USSR by the Beatles?
No.
That would be for me. If I was a pitcher, that's...
whoa.
That sounded pretty good. Here I know go. What that was, but it sounded pretty good.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So I'm at the door. The bullpen opens. Imagine if you will. Bullpen opens. The gates are open. Crowd goes nuts because here I come, right? But I don't come out yet. I stand at the precipice of the warning track with my head down, right? Total concentration. Just let it build up, right? He's going, what's going on? Here it comes! It's coming out! They know I'm about to come out, right? Fever pitch. People think he's going to step out now? Nope, not yet. Stare at me. Look upon me, ye mighty, and despair in the words of Ozymandias. All right, here it comes. Still standing there.
I already went to grab a beer.
Nope. You are riveted.
I'm riveted in the line, in the beer line.
And then, here I come. Get it, John.
You know he'd be walking out with like a jaunty step too.
John, tell me your famous story about Queen when you were in high school.
I don't know if it's not so famous.
the world famous.
What story?
By the way, how people would preface the fact that they like Queen.
People were so homophobic in the 70s. So you'd get these jocks that are into like Black Sabbath and Zeppelin and all that, and they go, I love Queen. But I'm not gay. They kick ass. They're so good. But I'm not gay. It's like, Jesus.
Wow.
That's the way it was in the 70s.
Well, it's just like now when they do like the hashtag no homo.
What does that mean?
It means that you're no homo because you said
it. It's like, however it is now, it was worse in the 70s.
It's like when they were saying, I love you, but not in a gay way.
Yeah.
Anyway, the end of the story is
but here's
after the whole thing, I'm still warming up. Now I'm warming up.
Oh, my God.
The song's still going.
I'm still in line. It's a long line.
Well, I've
got a Dodger
Jake,
dog.
Can you get me something?
Yeah, sure.
I go through all 4 minutes, 48 seconds.
You want a bud? Because I'm warming up. What you want?
And it's like two Dodger dogs, and what? Did you want the egg rolls?
I would have had time to get a beer, go into a separate line, get a Dodger dog, and come back, and it'd still be going.
As the song is finishing. Right?
Yes.
Because it's a 3-minute walk-on.
Right there, I throw the pitch.
Yes.
And it's like an 85-mile-an-hour meatball right down the middle. I go full Ryan Madsen. They just slam it out of the park. And they circle the bases, and I give up the lead. I just give up the lead right there. After all that, I give up the ghost. Yeah. And you know, but you know what? You know who loves me, John?
Who?
The kid who catches the ball.
He's all, he gave me time to practice. I was back there practicing the entire time you played that song.
That's it.
I'm like off the back of the. Yeah.
That's it. That's my. That's so. For
you
those
know,
of you,
gave me an idea. You know, what would be another great one. Would be Now I'm Here.
Oh yeah,
it's got a great little build up, a little shorter build up. But I love the fact that it's Please, Now I'm Here. that would be mine. That'd be a great one.
That would be your walk. Your
that'd be
your,
my one. Yeah.
Octopus's Garden.
I think that's my favorite.
That would be your walk up.
Under the sea.
Do it.
It'd be great for Little League. That'd be great for Little League. In a cave. It's like
dum,
6 years.
Dum, dum,
yeah.
Dum, dum, dum,
that would be great.
I'd be very popular with the kids.
The little kids.
Yeah.
They can play
kids.
That as you're going up to bat.
Sounds creepy.
Speaking
We're
of creepy,
that.
Speaking of creepy,
Screeping a freaky.
Speaking of freaky, let's talk about our scary movie.
Digital movie.
Now you say digital.
Now you got to say you started. You got to do it.
Digital movie. Digital movies!
Da, 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 da.
Digital movies!
Oh, God.
You're in the club. There it is.
Now don't do it again, please.
Listen to them.
That was your
Children
audition.
Children of the night.
It's like
what
blood
music
in your ear
make.
Hole.
It's like blood in my ear hole after that shriek.
Yeah.
No, God.
It's Halloween.
Oh, it's going to be scary, kids.
Count Floyd.
Count Floyd's Chiller Theater.
Dr. Tongue's House of 3D Stewards.
I love it.
A one.
I love it.
A two?
He's a vampire that howls like a werewolf.
Yeah.
He's got a turtleneck.
Well, then you realize it's the same Floyd that does the news.
Exactly.
And we're talking about SCTV, by the way.
Count Floyd.
Count Floyd.
I love how when the set starts falling down, he goes, oh, these sets are scary.
Monster Chiller Horror Theater.
And then remember, though, there was one time where they get the wrong movie. They get Sound of Music, and he's all, oh, it's going to be scary. You don't, what? You don't think that's scary, all those kids on that mountaintop all alone? Oh, oh, scary. Sound of Music.
I miss SCTV. Or they would get like, yeah, but sometimes they get like a Bergman movie or something.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. You know, he's like, oh. I don't know what that was, but it's pretty scary, kids. Oh, it's going to be scary. Ooh. Ooh.
Count Floyd.
So kids would know it. Well, some kids would know him from a Freaks and Geeks. He was the dad on Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joe Flaherty, yeah.
That's right.
That was Linda Cardellini's dad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a break. Talk about lucky of lucky days. Oh.
Oh. Oh, my God. Oh my God.
He sounds like he stubbed his toe.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, sounds like
boy.
He's drunk.
I'm in a good mood this morning. I just had a big breakfast and I got lots of energy. Today we have a special surprise. Instead of reading a terrifying tale, which I normally do, today the Count's going to draw you a scary story.
let's watch SCTV.
The great Joe Flaherty.
The great. Ooh. That was so scary. Now, let's talk about
our scary movies.
Should we go in alphabetical order? Should we go in release order?
Release
order.
Well, then, our very first movie will be, well, because it would actually be Dawn of the Dead first, and then Halloween, and then Alien.
Yes.
So let's start with Dawn of the Dead, which the kids were not able to find a decent copy of.
No.
They had to find it. It's very difficult to find.
It's on YouTube.
I know Brent from Home Video Hustle has a copy of it.
Like, I was willing to pay to watch it.
It is on the tube.
And I couldn't.
Yeah,
I couldn't
pay.
This is what's funny. So, as I was telling you earlier, I drove to South Pasadena to Videotech to rent a copy of Dawn of the Dead.
Was it on DVD?
It was on DVD. Now, get this. So, they've got a copy that probably came out years ago. This was a four-disc set. You got the U.S. version, the European uncut version. It got, like, the TV version, and then it had a whole disc full of extras.
I watched
this is for
uncut.
People that are really into George Romero.
Which one did you watch?
I watched the U.S. theatrical release because I thought that's the one everybody saw.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's just more decapitations on the European release.
Not really.
Once you see Tom...
Was it much gorier?
Once
Not
you
really.
See Tom Savini, you know what you're in for.
I love that he's in the movie. I love it.
Yeah.
He's doing the makeup, but he's one of the bikers at the end.
That's it. That's it. It was a real labor of love. So
and yeah. I was like, oh, we're watching From Dusk Till Dawn.
So this is, and he doesn't look any different.
No, he doesn't.
That's the weird thing about it.
Right. He always kind of had the same face.
He does not age at all.
He doesn't really age, yeah.
You know, I was explaining the last, like, 15 minutes to one of my friends. He's like, wait, were you watching Shaun of the Dead? I'm like, no, Dawn of the Dead.
Right, because it takes a real goofy turn.
At so, the end? It takes a goofy turn at the end?
At, well, like, goofier, halfway through.
Goofier.
The home...
Well, you got to remember how many zombie movies of this ilk had been out before Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
This was like ground zero because it had been 10 years since Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
This was color.
It takes place on the same night.
Huh?
It's supposed to take place on the same night.
In a different part of
the
city.
How is that possible? It was the 60, it was 68 and now it's 78? Really? It was a direct sequel. I thought it was not a direct sequel.
Yeah, because there's still zombies running around.
Hmm. I thought Romero said this is not supposed to be like a complete.
Oh, maybe not.
Anyway, I had not seen this. I remember people talking about it when it came out, and it was, you know, at the time it was pretty heavy stuff. Now it's
scary,
it's kind of on the silly side.
Oh,
but again, I can't think of any more zombie movies. I mean, everything kind of followed Dawn of the Dead. Everything that came out that got gorier and grislier, it all sort of followed Dawn of the Dead, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I was kind of looking at the zombie chronology, and there really isn't much.
No. There's a few Italian movies in between.
Right. Like that one zombie where the poster's got the maggots crawling out of
his
eye.
It's like, We will eat you.
We will eat you.
We will eat your flesh.
Yeah. And I think in Italy that had a different title because that was supposed to be a sequel, an unofficial sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's, so Dawn of the Dead, 1978, written and directed by George Romero. It has a... Guess what? What's the rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
Boy, that's tough because that's such a genre film.
94.
No, you're very close.
No, it does.
Is it 100%?
It does not have
it's not 100%.
It's a 49.
95.
93.
Damn it. I went the wrong
way. Roger Ebert, 4 out of 4.
Yeah.
4 out of 4.
This is the kind of movie he liked if it was trying something new. Mm-hmm. And at the time, this was something new. It just isn't anymore.
It was made in 1970, released in the United States in 1979, actually. But let's talk about it. What did you guys think? I love this movie. I love it.
You saw it when it came out?
I saw it. It was one of the first. No, I didn't see it when it came out. It was the first movie I rented on VHS when I had my own VCR. Mm. I bought my own VCR in high school. And my brother's like, you've got to see Dawn of the Dead if you've never seen it before. Because we were big Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was awesome. I just kept rewinding it. And I was like, oh, look at his neck come apart. Oh, look at the...
That's right. You can go straight to the good stuff.
Oh, look at the top of the helicopter. Got his head.
Chop Top. Everyone used to call that guy Chop Top.
Yeah,
I love how he looks like he's going to lose the top of his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's walking around and you go, why does that guy look like Frankenstein?
Yep. And then you're like, oh, he's going to lose the top of his head. Patrick, you look like you want to say something. So let's start with you, buddy.
Fur is dark of a theme. It's a very light movie.
It is.
It's ridiculous. I thought the whole time... that I was going to be hearing in the background. Like, you have the kind of off-putting music. Mm-hmm. It's not really, like, a disturbing music. It's just like, hey, you're in a shopping
it's
mall.
It's mall music.
It's mall but music.
It's mall music.
I thought... Exactly.
You don't get any more.
I thought I was going to be hearing, like, Three Stooges chase music the whole time. I like the idea of it. I can see a lot of what they were doing, and I can appreciate it for its time, but it doesn't hold up.
And I loved it.
Dead Rising. You can play Dead Rising.
That's it.
You got
that's
the same
basically
deal
what
right
it was.
Now.
It was Dead Rising. Oh, I was watching it. It's a video game.
It's a video game,
where you're trapped in a mall.
So it's based on this, probably.
Yep.
Probably.
It's exactly based on this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was very silly.
Except it takes the ridiculousness and just like fucking
throws
it out
the window. Like what ridiculousness? What are you talking about?
All of it.
Like say what's it. Ridiculous? Right but
face.
What is ridiculous about it?
What isn't ridiculous?
We're
about
living
it?
In a mall, like the idea. Yeah,
we're
that
living
you,
in a mall.
That's fine.
So somehow they're surviving on what foods? Who knows?
There's a grocery store. In the mall.
But the grocery
store. See, it's
store,
funny. You have to explain what malls were like back then. That's,
you could get everything.
That's
just,
one.
Christ,
that's,
there's everything. There's food. There's a bar in there.
There's a restaurant.
Guns, yeah.
It's just it was.
Well, it was like okay. It's like what halfway through the movie they're like starting to get settled. They're like starting to get the feel of it. And they're like. Let's just have a dinner date.
Yeah,
why not? And then
because you're starting to get stir crazy.
Yeah,
you're starting to go crazy.
They gotta show that they're getting on each other's nerves. Because it is kind of a great idea at first. It's like, where can we hole up? at the mall. We'll never need to leave. We got clothes.
Yeah.
We got water. We got food. We got... So initially, it's kind of a good idea. Oh, yeah, we'll block the entrances with the trucks, and they're kind of moving slow. We'll be all right. We got guns. And yeah, by the end, it's just like, we got other problems. We're going nuts, and now we got bikers trying to get in the mall.
The baby's coming.
The baby's coming. That's a nice little sort of...
Our friend got bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All of them.
All of them.
Am I the only guy that thinks that that character looks like Brad Bird?
He kind of does.
He looks, the whole time I'm watching the movie, I go, God, that looks just like
Brad
Bird.
He does. It is Brad Bird.
And you don't think that pieing zombies in the face and spraying them with seltzer is an appropriate response to a zombie apocalypse?
But that kind of shows you where they are. They've gotten to the point where they're so used to being there.
And that is the last 10 minutes of the movie, pretty much.
But you said this is supposed to be the same night that it happened.
I don't think so. I think he's wrong about
There's
that.
There's no way.
Oh, no, it's the bikers that do that. Well, that just shows you that but then what happens to the bikers?
Yeah.
They don't take it seriously enough, and they end up getting killed.
Yeah, it's because they're trying to get them out, and they're like shooting their car, shooting their bikes and stuff.
Well, this isn't over one night. This is over a span of months.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. The bikers got to the point where...
This is like 3 months later.
It's the same reason you get... I mean, Siegfried gets attacked by a tiger because you're around the danger so often, you don't... You let down your guard.
It's almost inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been living with these zombies for so long.
Yeah.
They're downstairs, they're upstairs, and after a while, you just sort of... Yeah, you're right. The danger is forgetting that you're surrounded still.
Yeah, that's what happens. And that's what happens to the biker, because they're living on the road.
Yeah.
They have this illusion of safety because they're all in one big group, and But then it's like, oh, we'll throw pies, and it's all fun and games, so your guts get ripped out while you're
watching.
And then
I like somebody's... goes to check his blood pressure while all these zombies are chasing
around. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And you see the guy actually go, well, I'm here. Might as well.
But that's,
shove his arm
in. Yeah, by that time, it's just getting silly. Yeah,
that is fun. I like that scene.
I mean, you got to say, like, the first half hour, they're not playing the first half hour for laughs.
No.
They're trying to get out of the city and all
that. Building is all crazy.
And then all the people in the basement, they've been dumping all these bodies in the basement, and they're just like, shit.
They're all just eating each other.
So I don't know, this thing got debated endlessly. Like, there's people that always want to project a larger meaning on these things. So like the first one was sort of like the civil rights sort of thing, because at the end with all the rednecks shooting things up. And with this one, I remember at the time everyone saying this is a comment on what a materialistic shallow society we live in.
Yeah, on consumerism.
And Romero always sort of like downplays that and goes, yeah, I don't have a much bigger idea than just entertaining, but there's a few things that sneak in there.
Yeah. You can see where the beginning of Shaun of the Dead is saying
absolutely.
The exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Where we've all become these zombies.
The one part I did love about this movie was the zombie children that came out of nowhere, started attacking. We're like, son of a...
But yeah, that what?
That was an interesting moment.
Yeah, or like that, I guess he's not a kid, but the one in the baseball outfit that just sort of sits there and looks at her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is the one moment that's a little... unsettling just for its quietness. She's looking at this person that used to be playing Little League, I guess, and she's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then you get to the end, they've tested the helicopter out, she's taught them how to drive, and finally get in it, and they go, how much fuel we got? Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's it.
What can you do?
There you go. Justine, you're awfully quiet over there.
Oh, shit.
It's just such a great movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's sarcasm.
How am I?
Why?
She's doing Dwight Fry.
What did you like?
Yeah, what'd you love? What did you love about it?
What did you love
about
it?
What did I love?
Yeah.
I love the zombie kids. The zombie kids were pretty cool. They had that one zombie girl in the other movie we watched, Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was pretty creepy. These kids were stupid, and
they're just running around. They were just like hyperactive kids.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. At that time, you're like, cool, we can take over this whole thing, and I don't know. It made me want to run around a mall that was empty.
I grabbed the money. I love that. What do you do with the money?
Yeah,
yeah.
It made me miss 70s malls in a way, though. Because there really was everything at the mall. There was an organ store. There was you did have like restaurants inside the mall.
Yeah.
You still do to some extent, but now it's more
it
like a food court.
It took me straight back to like junior high.
Yeah.
You'd hang around and go, God, there's like everything in here. Yeah. And also all that 70s, all the planters, hanging plants and terrariums. And
there's cars inside the mall.
Those crazy light fixtures. When they set up their set up house, and they got those crazy, like, sort of Star Wars era light fixtures, those metal, silver.
Well, even though I was noticing the lamps out in the parking lot, those big, those were all, you'll see those in Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
When
because that's Century City.
Yeah.
That's right, because that's all shot in Century City. Yeah,
I forgot to.
And they kind of did that with the extras, like in Planet of the Apes, where you saw who was extra because they just had white paint on their face. And then the ones that they wanted to do an up close shot of were all like prosthetics and like getting gummy shoulders.
That's right.
I forgot to check what movies we.
It's my favorite candy.
So just remind me.
Gummy shoulders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you call it a gummy shoulder? It just it looked more like stringy.
No, when they bit in, it was like...
It's like latex
and
rubber.
It goes in and just like...
And then the intestines are all sort of like Rice-A-Roni or something, you know, or Hamburger Helper, basically.
Everything looked really meaty in this movie. That's what I don't like. I don't like that you see people get chunks taken off of them.
And it wasn't exactly... You know, it's funny because the scariest scenes are like when he's trying to get out of the truck. And it's like, it's so, he can't, you know, they're all over the truck.
It's dumb, though. Leave the goddamn bag.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
I know. You can almost picture the entire audience going, well, that's it for the bag. Never mind the, and then the guy says to him, look, this is my life you're playing with. I was waiting for him to say, what's in the bag? Do you really need the bag? Is it guns?
I think it was his guns in there.
Because it's almost like...
Who cares? You got a freaking whole store full of them.
Guns R Us around the corner in the mall.
And they had already seen that place, so he knows about
it. That's one scene where it's kind of like, really? I think you're just going to leave that.
He deserved to die. Yeah.
I think they had enough ammo to clear out the entire mall with
whole
store.
That's true. Well, the store was well stocked. Yeah.
Most of it.
What a dumbass.
Yeah, that is something that really did not make sense.
He's not a smart guy.
No.
You can't be smart in a horror movie.
I kind of wish they had more zombies in that mall, though.
Oh, my God.
There's like 10 zombies in that whole mall.
I wanted it way more crowded, like when they were all going at the door. And
that's
like,
a lot of extras to pay for, though.
And they're all just screaming to get their
You know, it's a very low-budget movie. That's why there's no stars in this.
I was just impressed that they could climb a goddamn ladder.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they were really stupid. Sometimes they weren't. Well, he opened the door when he went to the stairwell. I was like, how did you open that door? How did you know?
I think, they're still toying with the idea, like, how much can these zombies do?
Yeah, because the other one's holding, like, a hockey stick. And I'm like, how did you? And he's hitting the.
Yeah.
They explained it. They can do basic motor functions, but they don't have any thought or reasoning behind it.
But you can also see where the director's trying to figure it out. Well, how much should they be able to
do? Like,
just
what?
For. They haven't really got the rules set down yet. But you're right. When you see something like World War Z, and there's, like 1,000 zombies climbing over on top of each other to get to the top of a wall, and you're like, they've come a long way. They move faster. They move smarter.
I think probably the best part of this
movie. I wouldn't necessarily say smarter, but they're
more
feral.
Yeah, you're right. Feral's the word, yeah.
Best part of this movie had to have been the eye patch scientist, because I feel like he had that before this all started.
Dummies! That guy?
I'm trying to save your lives!
Is that the guy that keeps saying dummies?
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's ridiculous.
Dummies! Dummies! I just want to say that in here sometimes.
Wow.
Well, it's true.
What a dick.
If you ever said that to us, we'd take a bite out of your shoulder.
Hey.
out of your gummy shoulder.
I still love this movie. I give it a seven. I give it a seven. Justine?
Oh, you want to go to me? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll lowest and then we'll work our way up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll give it a 4.
Wow, 4? That's not bad.
I would rather watch this than Bonnie and Clyde.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah, if she's not wrong.
That should be on the Bonnie and Clyde poster. Or actually, it should be on the Dawn of the Dead poster. Better than Bonnie and Clyde, says Justine.
What do you got?
What do you got, Patrick?
This is a 5 for me.
5, not bad.
There were some enjoyable parts, but for the most part, I wasn't in love with it. I like the idea of it.
Don't care. All right, and
wow.
I don't want to hear anything negative about this.
Holy shit.
Would you want me to be honest or no?
Mm-hmm.
Would you give it?
A 7.
A 7.
Jake?
I give it about a 6.
There you go.
Yeah.
Getting good with the host.
It was decent.
What a fucking sucker.
It was decent, but it's not something I'd ever watch
yet. Shit. Mario, you can't go first.
you need to wipe that shit off your nose, Jake.
You keep talking, Jake.
Okay,
I'll turn off his mic.
Yeah, I know. It was decent, but it's not something I'd watch regularly. I watched
and
it.
And you gave it a six.
Yeah,
John Sandy.
Well, you're gonna be very angry at me. I give this a 4.
Thank you, John.
Although I know that if I'd seen this when it came out, I would be giving it a higher number because it would have sentimental value. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
That's what I'm doing.
But the fact that I just saw it last week for the first time, I'm like. I don't know. It's, yeah. It was great once, but I don't think I'll ever be going back to this.
Nope.
John, you're going to watch it again.
But no. I feel now like I'm part of the, you know, when you do the pop culture quotient, that was always like a missing link.
That's what we're here for.
Because it kind of starts. Color zombie movies start with Dawn of the
Dead. I totally get it. I'm just giving you a hard time about it. I totally get it.
It's okay.
Again, when I'm watching it again, I'll tell you what. I watched the extended cut of this, and I had never seen it.
Is that what you saw?
Oh, the extended cut.
I did, yeah.
Oh,
it's 2.5 hours.
So what are you missing?
It's just a bunch of stuff in the mall. It's just a bunch of stuff.
But I mean, is it gore? Or
no, no, no.
Oh, it's just
stuff. It's just extra crap.
It's just extra scenes between the three of them.
I was going to watch the theatrical version, but it's not available, so we had to watch the extended cut.
I just love that this thing, 4 discs. I don't think Citizen Kane got 4 discs. This thing had 4 discs.
Lord of the Rings didn't get 4 discs.
So you know that there's a lot of zombie fans out there. There are people that are really into, especially the George Romero stuff. And they're just all about this film, you know? So it's so great. I just opened this up
Jake,
going, unbelievable.
Put white makeup on your face and then you're a zombie.
Yeah, there you go.
Done. Mm-hmm. You just walked
I'm just really sick.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
Hey, there you go.
That was pretty easy. Just, yeah. With if you don't have any guts hanging out, all you really have to do, yeah, is a little talcum powder.
Yeah,
and
it's
some
easy.
Dark circles under your eyes.
A little talky talc.
Done.
I like when that girl is like, in the beginning when she's like, he's my husband. And she's like, ah, and she hugs him, and then she just gets them.
Ah, I love it. And then she's all, ah, mm-hmm. And he's all, mm-hmm. And she's all, ah, and he's all, nom, nom, nom. She's like, ah.
Yeah, just,
It's interesting because the tone, that first 20 minutes, the tone is really different.
Yo, yeah, it changes.
You know? And once they get in the mall,
it
it's
just
a
completely
whole different,
changes it.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was pretty dark when you started out.
They've set up the menace, and now you're lulled into a sort of like, well, we're kind of okay if we stick in the mall.
Yeah, it changes.
Starts with some, you know, deep, dark horror music and then goes into
It kind of makes me wonder what's next. What was, like, the next zombie movie? Was it one of those Italian ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what happens in the 80s is you get a lot of the retreads. They start remaking.
Like Return of the Living Dead was not an official sequel.
They start doing it. They start doing it more for laughs. You
and
know?
That's the one with the punk rockers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, and that's got a little comedy in it, too.
That's it, yeah.
And the first one where they're moving fast, is that 28 Days Later?
Yes.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Which, that's scary as
that's
all
a
get
damn
that's
scary
a good
movie.
One.
And you just watched Train to Busan, John, which we're going to get to eventually.
Yes, Jake recommended that, and it's really good.
It's a great
really
zombie
good.
Movie.
That one of the best zombie movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It has a whole different tone, and the story is really intriguing. And they're on the train the whole time. They're on this bullet train, and it's all how do we get off the train, you know? And every car is filled. As soon as an infected person gets in there, the whole car fills up with zombies. So it's just crazy.
And they're not just trying to escape the train. Every stop that they try to go to has been quarantined off, and so they can't even get off. And so they just keep going, and it's just they're on there longer and longer, and more people get infected, and it's just. It turns into absolute chaos.
That's a sharp film. That's like an 8 or a 9. That's a sharp film.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great little. That's a great combo with. Snowpiercer. Have you ever seen Snowpiercer?
I haven't. But
I heard Snowpiercer is really good.
Really cool. And if you like,
and that's like a apocalyptic future.
Future, yeah. Like the world is frozen over because of climate change.
And they're stuck on the train.
This guy has built a perpetual motion engine, and Jesus. They're stuck on. They're on this train, but it's a breakdown of the class system. So the poor people live in the back of the train and are fed. You know,
Christ.
I won't tell you what they eat, but then.
Soylent Green.
The rich people live at the front of the train.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually it gets into, and they're like these two factions fighting for survival. And it's cool because the idea of perpetual motion engine, this guy invents it.
Yeah.
And this train just keeps going around like this huge circle around the earth.
Crazy.
Just trying to, you know.
What, was that an American film?
It was. Yeah. I don't think it was. I think it was, but they got Chris Evans to be in it. Yeah, I think the director was Korean.
Need to see it.
There's a video online where they're comparing it. They're saying if it's like it could be a sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
What, Snowpiercer?
I don't remember exactly why, but I think they explained it all because Willy Wonka was like a big on like different modes of transportation.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Now and everything, and they kind of tied a bunch of stuff. It was kind of cool to listen to. It'd
be great if he was the engineer. He's got the purple hat and everything.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're feeding the Oompa Loompas. They're feasting on Oompa Loompas.
Boy, we have real quick.
Real quick.
We have some decisions to make as far as movies. So this next one, well, The Godfather is in the next batch.
Ugh.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, what?
All right. Mm-hmm.
Why'd you say ugh?
Yeah, Patrick, why'd you say ugh?
I did not. I am excited for The Godfather.
Yeah, we're going to do The Godfather, and then...
Jake is the one who dissented. We don't sound the same.
Godfather is in there. And then we're going to skip. We go to 71.
Uh-huh.
Oh, actually, it's going to be Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Godfather. Now Patrick's making noises.
I didn't make any noise. It's just,
I love that.
You're going to go, The Godfather, Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. There'll be some people out there going, really? You put those two on the same level of yay.
You know what? Screw them.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
We're already out of 1970 now.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't own a lot of 70s movies.
We only have seven. We only have a couple of movies in 1970.
Just out of curiosity, is French Connection in your?
It is not. Okay. But remember, we will do
Rainbow Connection.
We will do an Rainbow audience
connection.
We'll do an audience poll as we get towards the end of the decade.
That's right.
So some movies that haven't been done will.
Okay.
Is Exorcist in your digital?
No, okay. We would have done it.
Mario won't watch that.
No, it's the devil.
Oh, that's right. That's the one that really scares you.
What about The Shining?
That's my dad's most scary movie.
Why?
I will not watch that.
Well, you guys were going to see The Shining in the theater. Did you do it?
No, I didn't. I was never going to go see it in the theaters.
But Justine didn't go.
No, she didn't.
I had school.
Because she had obligations, yeah.
But it's on a bunch of different things right now, so.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch it for freezies.
Stay in school, kids. It's
Say nope to dope and ugh to drugs.
So we're going to do Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
The Godfather.
Wow.
The
same show?
The.
Is that in the same show?
And then a little movie we like to call.
Yes.
All Quiet.
I know
on
what
the
you
Western
want
front.
Next time, but I'm gonna hold off because it needs its own. It needs its own thing.
Hmm.
So we will do, just for fun, Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee.
Oh, cool.
Yes!
Yeah.
Bruce Lee. Enter cool. the Dragon.
Oh, I'm so excited now.
Which is the godfather of Bruce Lee movies, really.
Were you with me at the Egyptian? They played that and John Saxon.
No.
Got on stage.
Was it awesome?
Old stories, yeah.
So watch Planet of the Apes first so you can get it out of the way.
By the way, it's awesome.
It was Enter, Begin the Planet.
It's Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
It's too bad that that's being shown next to Enter the Dragon and The Godfather because it's gonna look pretty silly compared to those.
The guys. Godfather.
That's why we're gonna watch it first.
And Enter the Dragon. I love Escape from Planet of the Apes.
I do too. It's probably my second favorite because it's a complete flip of the first one. It's a complete.
There's no mutants in it,
inversion.
Right?
There's no.
No, no, no. It's good.
Thank
it's
God.
We already went. We're past
but
the worst.
The mutants are creepy.
We're past the worst Planet of the Apes movie.
And this is the last you're going to see of Cornelius and Dr. and Zero.
No, my favorite.
I mean, in a movie. You're not going to see them in any more movies.
Do we have Dr. Zaius?
Dr. Zaius.
I've already said too much. But if you like those characters, this is pretty much wrapping it up for those characters. Cornelius.
They're going to go to the zoo. He's going to be in there. They'll be like, no! Dr. Zaius.
I'm not going to say any more.
Oh, this is the time machine one?
This one where they end up in New York, 1970.
They end up in LA. They end up in Los Angeles, 1973. Yeah. It's the craziest thing because the way they get to somehow, you saw how that last one ended with the entire planet blowing up.
Yeah.
Somehow, they ended up in a rebuilt spaceship and were able to leave the planet before it blew up.
Don't tell them.
Because they knew it was going to blow up.
Well, I mean, they're going to tell them in the first like 10 minutes, I think.
Planet's blowing up. Get in the pod.
I know. And also that somebody was able to rebuild like Taylor's spaceship so that it could flee the planet.
In 5 minutes.
And yeah. It's like. It would take a lifetime to rebuild that ship, and you're telling me that you did it in the 5 minutes?
Well, because
science.
Salminio. All
right. That's right. Yeah. Salminio is Milo, right?
Gene Krupa is Salminio.
Oh, that's so crazy. Yeah. It is Gene Krupa.
That's right.
There's a connection between Gene Krupa and Planet of the
Apes.
That's
it.
Who would have thought?
Rainbow.
And Buddy Rich was Dr. Zaius.
Connection.
And they had a little duel. The two simians had a duel.
So the next movie.
Sorry. You're like, okay. Boy, we're way off the
We're still
tracks.
Best friends.
What?
I just wanted to, so Godfather, End of the Dragon, Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
So we know.
You just say that they're at the end, but you know.
I know. It popped in there and I wanted to get the order down while it was fresh.
You got so excited, I know.
All right. Our next film, the original Halloween. Whoa. Oh.
What happened?
Sorry. A little... gas bubble.
Not to be confused with the recent sequel to Halloween, which is also named Halloween.
Yeah, how many people here saw that?
I did.
I did.
No one else. Okay.
I did.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Moving on.
That would have been a good one to catch since
really good.
We're watching the first one. Mm-hmm.
Halloween, 1978. It's a mystery slash slasher film directed by John Carpenter. It has a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 80% on Metacritic, 7.8 on IMDb. And it was released in October of 1978. And as I said, directed by John Carpenter, starring Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasance, our friend from such films as The Great Escape and You Only Live Twice.
And Enter the Body.
And Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
So.
That he's piece great. Of shit. He's great in this movie.
He is.
He is so great.
Jake, let's start with you.
Yes.
Tell me, had you seen this before?
I had not seen it. Well, I'd probably seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never remembered actually watching it all the way through.
And
it was good.
Yeah?
It's really, really good. It's scary in that this could potentially happen to anybody kind of thing. It's not like some crazy monster that's trying to kill someone. It's not this big zombie apocalypse. It's just some crazy guy who likes killing people and just found someone he wanted to stalk.
Wait, which one came out first, Exorcist or this?
This came out 5 years after The Exorcist.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was great. Michael Myers is a really great villain, I guess you would say. There's no reasoning. It's not like you can figure out why he does what he does. He just likes to kill.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah. Psychopath.
And as Dr. Loomis says, he's pure evil.
And he's pure evil.
He's completely evil! He's devoid of humanity.
What we're dealing here with is pure evil.
I also noticed that the 70s loves to put boobs on the big screen.
Yes.
Loves it.
Especially in the slasher movies.
Oh, yeah.
I know from the opening scene, it's like, yeah, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do it.
Is it just that, this is like that 20-year time period where it's just like, boom, like 80s every
movie,
too.
Every movie has boobs in
80s
it.
80s too. Mm-hmm. A lot of 80s movies.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a time fraught with danger for my parents. Who wanted to take me to the movies.
Had their hand on the power button ready
now,
to
remind,
go.
Now, here's something funny about my parents. I could see the most violent movies in the world. They would not care.
Yeah. Boobs,
the
no.
second you see a boob, it's like, oh, my God. So I don't understand that.
See someone getting their innards torn out. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's fine. You
that
see
was the George
like, oh.
Carlin thing. He says, Americans, we got no problem with heads being blown off, but man, do not show them a nipple. It's like, you know, that's going to warp your brain. And
that's
your,
it.
Your spine will go crooked.
Turn you into, turn you into a psychopath.
That's it. So
a sex-crazed psychopath.
That's it. Yeah, that's what happened with the young Mike. He killed his own sister.
Yep.
Yeah. Judith Myers.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That whole little town. You know, I did not know up until very recently that was filmed in South Pasadena. I thought they filmed it in some little town.
You know, I looked. I'm like, this looks a lot like Pasadena, and I had to look it up, and it was South Pasadena.
And you know, you can that house, the Michael Myers house. They say people make a pilgrimage to see that. It's now like a real estate office, and they've repainted it. But people pose all day long, especially around Halloween. They make a pilgrimage from across the country. There are a lot of fans, heavy duty Halloween fans.
Yeah,
and they like to pose in the doorway, and because it's not a residence, they just sort of like they just walk up the steps and pose in the doorway, and you know they pose in the back. You know, they're like there was a picture of a 10-year-old kid with the Michael Myers mask and a knife, you know, posing in front of the house. Like, hey, look at me! And it's like, where are the parents?
As the lawyers on the phone call, calling the cops.
So it's possible to go check it out.
The impact of this movie when I was a kid cannot be understated, because it launched. Friday the 13th, it launched
Freddy Krueger,
yeah. Everything. It's all, this was ground zero.
Yeah, everything for all of them. This. Yeah.
And it is still, for me, watching it again, it helped, the scares are still there, because it's not a lot of it's just the atmosphere.
It's restrained.
Yeah, it's him.
Compared to something like Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's the car driving by in the background. I'm standing in your yard, in your laundry. I'm standing by your clothesline. You know, you look out and
it's just seeing him in the background in a lot of shots. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily him jumping out and trying to scare you.
Yeah.
And very little actual gore if you watch it. It's very little actual gore. Whereas today they would ratchet it up.
John Carpenter is a great filmmaker. He knows how to do it. And like Hitchcock, he's obviously a Hitchcock fan. He knows how to do it. Where it's not entrails all over the screen, because he knows that's not effective. At a certain point, your brain just goes numb. So really what's more effective is that, Christ, the soundtrack is half of what's making you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. You just see him in the background. You see his like silhouette. You know, sometimes you don't even see. You just see him sort of like rise up, and it's like, what the hell is that? Is he still there?
They How did he not die?
They did that a lot in the new one too, which I really appreciated too.
That was very much in the spirit of the old one.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the new one.
Did you like the new one?
I did, because they pretended like the previous nine movies didn't happen. So it's basically, and it let's catch up with Laurie Strode. And she's like in a bunker. She's got like a basement full of guns.
She went full insane and like hell bent on
like Sarah Connor. She's she's trained. She knows how to. She's got an entire. She's got like a panic room in the basement. She's got an entire arsenal of rifles and handguns, and she's ready for him.
And trained her kid all her young life to like fight him too. It's crazy.
It screwed up her family because her daughter and her granddaughter. They just think she's crazy grandma. But she knows, like, for the last 40
years.
Who's
crazy now,
exactly.
huh?
Exactly. She knew at some point he would get loose, and of course he does, and she's ready for him, you know? So it's worth catching. Because they decluttered the whole sort of timeline. Now all you have to remember is how the original ended, you know?
Which we know.
Yeah.
According
to this, they he's back in an institution.
Well, just the nice part of this is knowing that he was 23 at the original movie, and now he's 63 going after her.
Yeah, and the thing is, he always moved pretty slow anyway. This is one of those, this guy does not move fast, but he's always there. You turn around and there he is.
Just ridiculously strong.
But he just sort of like, he was always sort of a slow mover, so it's that's not what makes him.
But there's some times where it's like, you know, he's probably should be here and he's like nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Justine, what did you think of this one?
It was okay.
She's always there to level you guys out.
I love the buildup. That's such a great... We've just built it up for the last 15 minutes. It's
I know.
Like, what'd you think?
Didn't like it.
I don't know why he cuts me.
Didn't like it. Moving on.
Like, you guys are going to hate me.
four out of ten.
So why?
I've never wished harder that Michael Myers was real than right now.
He's standing right behind me.
Yeah, no, he doesn't scare me at all.
So you've probably just seen too many...
She's listened to too many podcasts.
What's your favorite scary movie, Justine?
You know, a normal guy who wasn't even wearing a mask would be just scary.
Justine, what's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah.
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
I like The Ring. I love The Ring. Actually, I can watch that all day.
So you didn't find this particularly scary or anything like that?
No.
I want to tell you something about the new one. I won't give anything away, but it begins with a couple people that do a murder podcast. This British couple that do a podcast, kind of like the ones you're always listening to. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. They're doing a podcast about Michael Myers, and they go to the prison. They get special permission to visit him in his maximum security prison, which I don't get at all.
It all happens in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. How does anybody get permission to see this guy? Like going to see
because
Charles
of a
Manson.
Podcast. Yeah.
But I thought about you because I thought, this is what they're doing. They're doing one of these like murder mystery podcasts, like real true murder mystery podcast. And they're doing an entire podcast about the events of... 1978 with Michael Myers killing all those babysitters, and so they kind of kick off the events in the new one.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
You should go see it
because I've heard that those are very popular. I know you listen to them, but somebody said that's pretty much the most popular podcast are the true crime ones.
Well, everyone's always interested in true crime though, but that's like their history. Yeah. Like everyone reads the news that all has like bad things in there, but I don't know. This movie was okay.
So I
don't know. You're just watching it, and you're like, "Oh, it's just like watching."
So, Patrick, what'd you think?
So, not surprising. You probably saw everything that was. You could see it coming a mile away. Right?
There was nothing I could even really appreciate. Oh no. Yeah, the part when these outside and the sheets are there, and you see him, and then you don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made me laugh because I try to imagine him like walk there and then walk out. I don't know. That made me laugh, but otherwise, that was kind of creepy but funny.
So you think you've just been desensitized? You've seen too many scary, gory movies.
We lost our audience.
I don't know. I just wish they would have made him a little more creepy. I don't know.
You don't think him wearing a really
it's
like,
all context
because
it's 78, 40 years ago.
Yeah,
it's all context.
It's true.
It's the reason why
no,
I didn't.
It's still scary. Yeah. She's just. I don't know. I can't explain it.
It's the same reason I'm not responding well to Dawn of the Dead. It's 40 years later. It doesn't. It's not much anymore.
No.
If she had seen it in 78, it was pretty much. That's pretty much where it all starts. You know.
That's true.
It's an entire genre starts, but she's seeing it 40 years later. She's seen all these creepier, gorier movies.
Yeah, that's true.
The Ring.
The Ring. Yeah.
If she likes The Ring, that's got to be creepier.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. So.
The boobs were nice.
Oh, isn't that? That's PJ Souls, right?
With her boobs?
She was in...
I mean, you like it
meatballs.
More than Casablanca.
And Stripes.
Not Meatballs. She was in Stripes.
Yeah.
And Rock and Roll High School with the Ramones.
Ah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. She's the lead in Rock and Roll High School.
She's very famous in the 70s. Very, very popular. Mm-hmm.
Well, this was her moment.
You can see why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool to see their... just the way they were living, because it kind of seemed like watching like an 80s thing.
So it's
an early 80s movie, but it wasn't. It was the 70s. So
it was 78.
Yeah, they're smoking dope and having a good time.
So at a certain point, these movies become sort of like period pieces.
Yeah, they really are.
Watching them, and then the way they were just kind of hanging out. And I don't know, it's just stupid. She spills on her shirts and then takes off all her clothes. I mean... I don't know. I was watching it like, oh, now she has to get naked and wash all of her clothes. Like,
that was not.
And then when she gets stuck in the one.
I hope
stuck
I
in
never babysit and have
that
to
was
take
not
off
a
70s
choice. That was a director choice.
Although you don't see her, she's dressed. They don't.
No, but she has a thin white shirt.
Yeah, she has a thin white shirt in her underwear.
Is that the one that gets stuck in the window?
Yes.
And now here's the ass shot.
It's just so.
Well,
so
that's,
70s,
that's
right?
Gratuitous. That's like, we got to put that
but
in.
But out of all the series, this movie, this one is the least gratuitous of all.
Exactly, because after this, it's like, you had sex, so you must die.
Yeah.
It's like, people started saying, maybe this is like a metaphor for the AIDS epidemic. All these, all these horny teenage kids get naked and then they get killed. They got to die.
I mean, that happened in this one, too.
This is kind of the beginning. But it's pretty restrained compared to all the Freddy Krueger and mm-hmm. Hellraiser. I mean, this is pretty restrained. Still effective, still effective.
What do you got, Patrick?
I can see why this was scary.
You can see why it was.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts that are kind of creepy, but I wouldn't say... I mean, it's dated. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't anxious during those scenes where he was in the background staring her down?
No.
No?
No. Mm-hmm. I was annoyed that... they were smoking a joint in their car. They're hotboxing their car. They drive up to her, sheriff of a father, roll down the window, and he doesn't suspect anything, which is
ridiculous.
Oh,
well, that's
ridiculous.
Because back in the day...
we didn't smell?
Pot didn't smell, yeah.
Right?
Oh, got
right?
it, got it, got it.
People don't know that.
He's supposed to be clueless.
And then I felt bad for the blonde because, her boyfriend was a two-pump chump and it was over. I was really sad. You watch that scene. It's like literally 30 seconds. He's done. And she's just like,
that was amazing.
She's in high school. She doesn't know any better.
And so,
right?
he must die.
it was cool. Mike Myers was an interesting villain. And I mean, it was nice to see that not only he's more, I mean, he has no emotion and stuff like that. But at the same time, it allows him to kind of surpass what your brain limits you to. And he's able to do superhuman things.
Right, like every time
lift somebody up and by their throat and choke them to death.
And just gets up. No matter what you do to him, he gets up,
But I mean, at the same time, he lifts up the dude and chokes him, which is in crazy strong.
Yeah.
And then he struggles to kill the girl in the car until
stupid.
He stabs her. There's some kind of issues I had there.
What did you guys think of the opening scene where him as the little boy?
That was creepy.
So
and
confused.
That was the one thing I really did like about this movie is that you see a lot of it from his perspective.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His little
which
hand.
That
little
makes
hand.
It super creepy in
his
itself.
Little clown.
Yeah, because you see a little clown. I'm like, whoa, what is this little
that'd be
hand?
A good band name, little
that
clown
itself was kind of creepy to see it from the killer's perspective.
I had to ask Patrick because I was like, why are they not moving?
Oh, when they
Patrick's
paused.
Like, oh, they're supposed to be paused. I'm like, oh, because the mom's just like, oh, this kid's just holding a knife, and they just stood there.
Well, that's his parents, right?
Yeah, his parents. But his parents, the kid's standing there with the knife. It's like it's like a cutting to a memory.
Yeah.
And like they stop moving.
Yeah.
Everything stops.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand why they weren't.
You would
moving.
Like the new one then, because there's this whole scene where they're following Michael while he's like killing all these people. Yeah. So you get to see his whole process, which is
it was
cool.
It was a cool touch to see that like.
Yeah, you know what? I wish I saw more of him.
You'd like the new one then.
I would like him better as a kid. Than
oh,
watching.
As a kid, never mind.
That's way more creepy to
yeah,
see
a
him
child
as a
killing,
kid.
That's scary as shit.
That is way more creepy than seeing this grown man.
Yeah, and it's his own sister, too.
And if your kid doesn't have emotion like that, don't dress him up like a clown.
And look at his eyes.
Just, yeah.
Whatever they did something where his eyes just look like they're all black.
They Dead told that kid Santa Claus wasn't real and just ruined everything
look,
for
when
him.
When they pull back and he's just like, he just like he did not even know what he did. Yeah. What'd you think of the Dr. Loomis stuff? You like Donald Pleasance. What'd you think of all that?
I do like him.
What'd you think of the half the movie's him trying to track him down,
I mean, he's pretty smart.
I love when he's
telling the kids, he's like, get away from there.
I thought it was crazy.
But he kind of laughs.
He pulls up on the dead truck driver. And he's just like, oh, there's a dead body. I'm not going to call anybody. I'm just going to keep going.
I like when the nurse says, can you please stop calling him it? He's all, if you say so.
I love it.
You haven't met him like I have.
I know. He's just so great. He really brings something to this movie. Mm-hmm. You know?
If I had seen this as a kid, I would have been terrified of
him. Mm-hmm. The other great thing mm-hmm. is how some of the teenagers are watching Howard Hawks' The Thing.
The Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
I think that's John Carpenter's favorite movie, which is why he remade it. You know, mm-hmm. It's his favorite movie.
We'll be doing that movie very soon. On
this. Oh,
yeah.
Great. Great.
And it's the same opening as he uses. It's that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's ask what your ratings were. Let's start with Patrick.
I give it a 6. If I'd watched, like I said, if I had watched this as a kid, I probably would have rated it higher. And the music, attempting to be suspenseful, really wasn't.
Wow. Because most people say the music, that's what makes it. It's suspenseful. It's very minimal.
It just sounds like someone practicing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's a big draw. And people really
love
the music.
The problem is because it pops up in some weird places that it doesn't
like
quite
where?
Fit. I'd have to rewatch it to tell you. But I just I remember that there's a point where like the music pops up that it doesn't, like, it would have been scarier if there'd been no music.
Like, for people that love this movie, that's part of the reason they love it, is the music. And it was because it was such a low budget, John Carpenter said, well, I know how to write music, I'll just do it myself. And we can't afford an orchestra or anything like that, I'll just play it on a keyboard. That's why it's so, it's sort of like necessity, it had to be simple. But it's creepy, you know.
Was this before or after Jaws?
After,
which
after
makes
what?
Sense.
Jaws.
Yeah, it's like 3 years after Jaws.
That makes sense.
Oh, there you go. That's great music. Who's that?
That is Dimitri Tomkin.
Wow.
That is from The Thing.
Because basically you've got James Arness dressed up like a carrot, so the music the music has got to do its job, and boy, does it. And that's shot in the shadows. Lessons that Carpenter obviously learned, because so much of Halloween is shot in the shadows. And when you see that original thing, that's, you know, so much of it is shot in the dark. It's just crazy. That's what really gets you going. He starts killing the power, and he's going to freeze them out, you know.
I love it.
Did we see that? I can't remember. Was that
we
part
didn't.
Of our
we didn't.
Digital Movie Club?
I wish it would have been.
I wonder if there's
We didn't watch it, but yeah. Everybody should go back and watch Thing from Another World.
I just thought it was a nice touch that they're watching that. Yeah. They're all the babysitters are watching something, and that's what's playing, you know?
And that was scary to them in the 70s.
Well, what the hell?
I mean, that's what I mean, though. Larry's, that shows you the next step.
Listen, that's still a scary movie. I still think that works. I just watched that like a week ago. That still works, the original Thing.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It's one of my favorites. James Arness as the vegetable. what did you give this one, Justine?
5.
So better
Bonnie.
Than Dawn of the Dead.
But
not as good
Bonnie
as Casablanca.
Not as good as Casablanca.
It's starting to make sense.
Patrick, what do you think will... Like, what horror movie do you think she would give a 10 to aside from The Ring? Like, what's her style?
She'd probably give, like, The Exorcist a 10. Mm.
The Conjuring, maybe.
Well,
yeah, she's more about like the modern horror.
Justine,
movies.
What do you think you would give it? Would you give The Ring a 10?
I love that movie. I give it a 9.5.
Is that?
Are you talking about
it
the American?
The Ring? Did it scare you?
No. The Ring. Not Ring.
The American. Okay. What have I told you? The little girl who played the girl in the video used to live across the street from my friend Hiddish.
Oh, that's cool.
It's true. They honest to God, I used to.
Though is like an actual, like I've seen her like outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
She's okay.
I used to work with her sister.
Oh.
Years ago.
So that's the movie that scared you the most?
It scared me, and then I was okay afterwards, and I just like fell in love with it. That and the Poltergeist are just like my favorites. Yeah.
The original Poltergeist?
I guess little kids, little girls kind of freak me out maybe.
Jake?
Give it 7.5.
There you go. John.
Solid. Yeah. Very solid.
Yeah, like a 7. 7, yeah.
This is a 7 for me, for sure.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it still.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Alien, Ridley Scott's masterpiece.
Yeah. It's like, what, his second film? I think this is like his second film, possibly.
I don't know if it's his second film, but it is.
I think it is.
It is a great movie.
I mean, this guy knows his stuff. Holy cow.
1979, starring. It's written by Dan O'Bannon, mm-hmm. who was another associate of. Wasn't he associate of John Carpenter as well? Didn't they do
His name turns up on a lot of stuff. Although at the moment, I'm drawing a blank.
Directed by Ridley Scott, and let me just tell you, it stars Sigourney Weaver, Yaphet Kotto.
Tom Skerritt.
We got Tom Skerritt in there, and you got Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton and Ian Holm.
Yeah, Ian Holm.
Very good. He's always good.
Mm-hmm. That's the dad.
That's the robot.
Oh.
The dad?
What
Who's
dad?
Who's the dad?
Well, there's a guy there that he always plays the dad in a bunch of movies.
Tom Skerritt.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Tom Skerritt.
I like him. Dad. I saw him and I was like, oh my God, the dad's on here. I love
you have
him.
A young Professor Broom.
Who's that?
Ian Holm.
Yeah, Ian Holm. There are things that go bump in the night.
Oh, you mean John Hurt?
John Hurt,
yeah.
Oh, my God. You don't throw stuff at the screen when he's on.
We forget
Mario.
John Hurt.
He looks different. He's so
there
young.
There are things that go bump in the night.
Where are the ones that bump
John Hurt back? Made himself up because he was the... he had a critical role in the Doctor Who series. So he made up for that.
And the Elephant Man.
What?
Nothing.
What?
What?
Nothing. What?
He's the War Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
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 He's so young. It's so weird to think of him. He's so young and unwrinkled in Alien.
Unwrinkled?
Because usually he looks like he's gone through a prune factory, you know?
They ironed him out for this movie.
You know what I mean? By the time he's doing Hellboy, he's got a billion wrinkles, you know?
He's got a clip on the back of his neck that pulls it all
That's
back.
That's it. Mm-hmm. What do you... So, John, now you were around for this.
Yeah.
Did you see it in theaters?
I did, but it was not when it first came out. I saw it about a year later. I saw it like in the second run theaters.
How was it?
I felt like I was late to the party just because I was a year late catching it. For some reason, I didn't catch it right out the gate.
What were your initial thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was great. It was just, it's so, at least in 79, it was very suspenseful, beautifully shot, super creepy. And another guy that, you know, it's like The Thing. Most of it shot in the shadows. So that's what makes it creepy. You really don't get a good look at this thing. In the Alien movies that follow, you get to get a really good look at him, head to toe. But in this movie, you're going, God, he's so tall, and what's going on with the mouth? And he's got a tail, and
it's got like spikes on his back.
Does he always have silver teeth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like translucent. Yeah, he's like a...
But you know, they're like metallic. That's the thing that got everybody, was that you never got a good look at him. You're going, what is this thing? This thing's insane, and you know it's so big, and it bleeds acid. You know,
so big and scary, yeah.
No, and you know you cut this thing, and it bleeds acid. I love that scene where it starts bleeding through every floor in the ship, and they're like, "We got to stop this before it goes all the way through the ship." You know, I don't know. It was scary at the time it came out. It was pretty goddamn scary.
And I think H.R. Giger's design, because it's kind of
phallic.
Well, no, it very phallic. Well, it is very phallic, but the fact that it's like insect-like. Insects automatically give you the creeps, kind of, because they're so cold and unfeeling. And
it doesn't look like any other alien you'd seen. Before 79, nothing looked like that.
Mm-mm.
It really looks different.
Yeah. H.R. Giger.
Yeah.
H.R. Giger.
Giger.
Yeah.
Giger.
His stuff is really unsettling. If you look at collections of his paintings and stuff, it is really unsettling stuff.
So, when
it came out, it was pretty goddamn scary.
And I remember there were... ads for this movie was huge. I was about 8 years old at the time, but I remember people were talking about it. My brothers went to see it. They both loved it.
And the big tagline, in space, no one can hear you scream.
I remember hearing the radio ads for that.
And you know, the thing is, like, the whole thing with the eggs, like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
And when that thing is on his face, and it takes you a while to figure out what's going on.
The face hugger.
This thing's laying eggs inside of him, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just crazy, yeah.
No one had ever heard of anything
and
like that.
And that scene just blew people's minds, you know, where he's eating breakfast, he starts coughing, and then all of a sudden it's like, what? What's going on? That thing just burst out of his chest. I don't know. Again, 40 years ago, maybe now it doesn't. Maybe nobody blinks an eyelash.
I love it because you hear what's her name. I forgot her name. The actress's name.
Sigourney.
She goes, "Oh God!" Well, you hear that when
Veronica Cartwright.
Veronica Cartwright.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And this thing is shot very.
Oh God!
It's very low key before they start dealing with the alien. They're all just sort of like, "Oh yeah, we've been." They're just sort of like hanging out. They kind of lull you into a false sense of relaxation. They've been on this thing forever, you know, and they're heading home, and they're just sort of like joking around.
Bring the alien back onto the ship, and all hell breaks loose.
Exactly. I don't know. At the time, I liked it a lot, and I must say, watching it again, it's every bit as good as I remembered it, you know? Some things are more low-tech, obviously. All the computer stuff, you go, wow. That's like,
really... they're just blinking lights.
But just the set design still looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way the corridors look and all the piping.
Very
and
claustrophobic.
Yeah, it's perfectly shot. And
It's, you know what, you brought up Train to Busan.
Yeah.
In these movies, and The Thing, for that matter.
When you're stuck in a confined place, it makes it scarier. If you can't just run out the door, if they fixed it where you're on a train or you're in the snow, there's some reason you can't just get out the door and run. You're fucked because you're in this box with this thing, and what are you supposed to do, you know?
Remember the black box at Movieland Wax Museum?
Yeah.
And they had the alien in there? I remember the ad for that. I never went in there because I was too scared.
So, yeah, I dug it when it came out, and I still dig it. I still think it's great.
I'm sure the Folly artists had had fun with that one.
Yeah.
Listen for it. There it is.
I love how unchoreographed it is. It's like, what the fuck? You know? Yeah. Well, basically, the whole vibe of that scene is, what the fuck?
I heard that Ridley Scott did not tell them it was going to spray them. So he set it up so that
that's great.
That was their natural reaction.
They he knows his all stuff, I'll tell you. Sprayed. He's amazing.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
That's what I was waiting for.
Hello, my ragtime gal.
I was like, when he's going to come out.
Like Young Frankenstein, if you saw that first, you'll never be freaked out by this movie.
It ruins it. It ruins it, but in a good way. In a good way. Let's talk about...
Did you see it when it came out?
I did not. I'll tell you when I saw it. I saw it, do you remember, on TV? Before there was cable, there was on TV.
That's before Z, Channel
Z.
It
was a pay service.
Yeah.
My brother had it. So I had to sleep. My brother just got married. He invited me over to have like a sleep. Come over and sleep over. And he had already seen it. And he's like, oh, it's going to be on. You come over and watch Alien. And then leaves me on the couch by myself.
That's great.
To fend for myself.
How old are you?
I was about 9 or 10, maybe.
Okay.
Lucky he didn't like hide behind the couch and go, wah!
Yeah. This is the same brother that woke me up with a devil mask.
Jesus.
So one day when I was like 4 or 5.
What a great brother.
Yeah, what a great brother. So, yeah. But, yeah, I freaked me out as a kid. I saw it way too early, man. It freaked me out.
I still think this is the gold standard. You know, some of the sequels are great. You know, the second sequel, you know.
Aliens is great.
Aliens is great, but it's a different kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron, that's definitely a different kind of movie than this one.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's revisiting these characters with Prometheus and that last Alien movie.
Yeah. Justine, what did you think of this one?
The set was really nice.
Seminal horror science fiction movie. Well regarded as one of the best films ever made. Justine, what did you think of this one?
The set looked really
influential.
Good.
Well, like she liked the set. That's a start.
To this in a league all its own.
I don't get how Jones lived.
3 out of 10.
Huh?
I don't get how Jones lived. You know, did feel
the
cat.
The part I thought that was the most suspenseful was the guy with the hat when he goes down there and he finds the skin.
You're
like, oh, he shed it. That's bad. And he just keeps going. I'm like, oh, you're not going to say anything? Fine, whatever. Keep going. And then he dies. But
down where those weird chains are hanging down with all the water.
Yeah, and he's kind of like wetting his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right before he wets himself.
Is that Harry Dean Stanton?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hair. That's all I have to say.
A lot of hair?
Yeah.
A lot of hair.
For what?
Sigourney Weaver's hair.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hair. I don't know. That's what I got from watching this.
What did you think of the movie?
I love that. A lot of hair. What? Did we see the same movie?
A lot of hair. The movie was okay.
The movie was okay.
I thought the set was super cool for that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did their little freeze pods.
Now we're getting somewhere. All right. Yes.
Those are really cool.
Go on. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But not it wasn't suspenseful. You weren't freaked or anything.
I wasn't scared, no.
Hmm.
I was not scared. Then when he was laying there on the side and she was in the little pod, the escape pod, it was kind of stupid.
What you guys miss being at home, we're sitting kind of at a, I don't know, there's pictures we put online. Everybody's sitting across from each other and I'm kind of at the head of the table facing out. So Justine and Jake are always farthest from me. So Patrick is in between me and Justine facing John. But whenever Justine's talking, he will look at me, and his face will tell you exactly what he's thinking about what Justine's saying. And I wish I could make the face for you right now, because he's just...
What is he making?
Nothing.
He's going like
Patrick,
this.
What are you making? It's the what can I tell you face.
Yeah.
It's the I don't know what to tell you face.
Yeah. It's the help me. I'm blinking twice. Please help me. That's basically the look on his face.
You know what? The part.
Pathological psychopath. Please
the part
help
that's
me.
Like I can still see it in my head was when his head, the robot, his head flips over.
Robot?
The robot. Android.
When his head
is hanging over, I'm like, ugh. And then they show him and then they bring him back to life. But when his head is sitting there and he has all that shit on his face, that was disgusting.
This movie made me never want to drink milk again.
Right? I was like, ew, it hurt him.
And it's just
him.
Like dribbling out of his mouth.
It looked like candlewax
and,
just stuck on his, like, it was disgusting.
Yeah, and then he's got those weird white bulbs in his neck, which you don't know what they do.
They're
and,
like the little seaweed ones.
Yeah, they look like.
Mm-hmm. And since I saw Prometheus first, that was my very first alien movie to watch. And he's talking about how much he loves it. It made sense because Prometheus, you see that where he's just in love with them.
It seems like every movie has an alien, like because Lance Henriksen is in the second one.
his orders from Mother were to bring back the alien alive.
Nothing else
and
mattered.
Everything else was secondary.
But I don't know if this is the same guy that was in Prometheus, because that guy was crazy.
No, but they're androids.
They're all programmed.
Because
remember Lance Henriksen in Aliens?
Yes.
See, every one of these has got like an android who's like, you know, I'm
but
here
But at least
to...
you like him
because
in the second
he,
one.
He's the most
he's
human
actually,
of the bunch, yeah.
He's actually a good person in the second one.
Yeah, but they all have that sort of, sort of like, you know, I can admire it. I love that whole scene. I admire its simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, no morals, no guilt.
The perfect creature.
God damn it. You admire him, you know? Okay, unplug him. I love it. Okay, unplug him, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same scene where she kind of strips down also.
I know. Everybody said that when the movie came out.
Yeah, white
like,
panties,
oh.
white t-shirt. I was like, oh,
sagging,
okay.
Yeah, sagging panties.
All they wanted was rain.
Short t-shirt.
You expected to see a little bit of poop stain on the panties.
They're like, can we wet her?
What are you guys talking about?
No, you know at the end where she takes off all her clothes to get in the pod, you know?
Yeah.
And all the guys are all, hey. And all the girls are all, was that necessary? It's like, you know, well, she's going to go into hibernation. I guess it's necessary.
Yeah.
Also, I think she feels a hell of a lot more vulnerable. She's got no armor on, and now here this thing is in the capsule with her, you know?
Yeah.
And you're grappling
her. That actually kind of freaked me out. I'm looking at it, I'm like, wait. Is that the alien? It just moves. I'm like, oh, shit.
Because everything is so shadowy. You're like, is that part of the machinery or is that the alien? You know.
Justine's favorite part was jazz hands, right?
Oh, my God. He came out like, I laughed so hard at that scene. Then I even asked Pat, I'm like, Patrick, did you see that? Rewind it. Do it again.
What scene is that?
It's when Dallas is in the air ducts and this is where he gets killed off.
So
you don't see him die. You just see him turn his light and you do a jump scare from the xenomorph.
Oh.
And it's literally just jazz hands as he goes to reach out to him and it cuts. But it's done in a weird way that when you watch it in HD, it's a lot brighter.
Oh.
And so you can see more.
That's the problem with HD is that you're seeing stuff that was supposed to be in the shadows. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing people say that about a lot of movies.
Turn your brightness down.
Things that were supposed to be in the shadows, you can now see. You go, God, what's that?
And I don't get why she wouldn't tell him, like, go the other way. She's like, you're going the wrong way. You should have told him where to go the first time.
But the thing is, they were able to see the direction that it was coming from. They didn't know where in
up
the
or down.
Ducts it
they're just
was
looking at a dock.
Yeah.
But then she goes, oh, she tells him, you're going the wrong way. So she did know. She's just a jerk.
No, move toward or
she
away.
She said, get out of there. And so he climbs down, but that's toward it.
And then she says, you're going the wrong way.
But isn't it possible she's like in a panic? In a blind panic.
Okay, well, if something happens and it's in a panic, I will put you guys down.
Don't you think if you're on a spaceship with an alien that's going
to
kill you, that you'd be in a panic?
Patrick, what did you think of this scene, baby?
I have fond memories of watching this at 7 years old behind the couch. This movie scared the living shit out of me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And... the xenomorph is by far the scariest monster out there. It is the perfect killing machine, and you cannot escape.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Yeah.
Why is it perfect?
Because you can't kill it.
You can't kill it.
It bleeds acid, and you cannot kill it. As you see, I mean, you can try like ejecting it from the spaceship. You can't kill it.
Yeah.
Michael Myers versus Xenomorph.
Xenomorph in a heartbeat, dude.
But they both can't die.
When she turns on the Xenomorph, is just gonna, you know.
He barely lets go when she turns the jets on.
Yeah, and it's not dead out in space.
It's just floating around.
No, they can breathe in space.
Yeah.
It's evolution. Evolution has created this perfect killing machine. It's like Jaws. All it does is kill and
that's
breed.
Why Prometheus. That's the whole point. Prometheus. They want this thing because it's in Prometheus because it's the perfect machine. He wants to study how it.
Yeah,
it works. Breeds and kills, and that's it.
This movie, along with Silence of the Lambs, I saw at a very young age that I probably shouldn't have watched these, and they scared the crap out of me. And this is one of my all-time favorite horror movies. I don't like horror movies because they don't do anything for me, but those two movies scare the shit out of me.
Because both those movies are more than just horror movies.
Yeah.
Those are like A pictures.
Yeah.
They got more going on than just, hey, we're going to jump out and go boof.
Yeah, you know? Because I mean...
Except for the jazz hands.
I mean, and you don't really see a lot of the monster in this, and that's why it's such a scary thing, is you don't see the whole thing. You don't.
Bingo.
Like, you see all of Michael Myers, and that's part of the issue I had with him. If he was just in the shadows, if you just see him kind of peeking around the corner, but you see him like walking down the street pretty much, and it's just like it doesn't do anything. The Xenomorph you do not see until the very last second, and then you are dead. Because if it's within range of you, there is nothing you can do.
If you see it head to toe, it's too close.
Short of having an automatic loader suit, you have nothing to do.
Exactly.
And a flamethrower.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love this movie. Yeah. It is one of my favorites. I can understand why Justine doesn't like it. For her seeing it this late as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw this as a kid, this... ruined your childhood.
And also, if you saw Prometheus first, it's pretty
much... Yeah, and it's understandable.
You're watching it backward.
Yeah.
Ironically, because Prometheus is supposed to happen first, but you are watching it backward.
It's like watching, if you were to watch Star Wars, you watch the prequels first.
If you watch them first, you'll never make it to the best three.
Exactly.
Imagine somebody watching those and going, what?
Yeah. And then
make it to the first three.
I think Alien, if you watch Star Trek The Motion Picture, you'll never watch Wrath of Khan.
Exactly.
I love Aliens. The second one is by far my favorite of the two.
It's a good one. It's
there's a lot of different mythos in there that you kind of get more stuff, and it was nice to see this again.
You know, the second one's probably as good as the first one, in my opinion, but it is a different kind of
different
movie.
Animal.
It's
almost more like an action
it's
film.
It's more suspenseful than scary.
It's an action thriller.
This is like a haunted house.
And that's why this one's, I wouldn't even qualify this as a horror movie because you're not getting a lot of blood and guts. You get like a scene of blood and guts, and then really it's suspense. You don't know where the creature is. You don't know what's happening.
When it came out, somebody
said...
Like
Shining, not calling it Shining a horror movie because there's no blood.
When this first came out, somebody said that the spaceship, it was kind of like a stand-in for a haunted house.
Yeah.
It's in you don't know where he is. He in the attic? Is he in the basement? We got to get out of the... And it's like, they said, this is almost just like a haunted house film, but it's in outer space, you know?
It's not like this isn't a dumb... It's not a dumb killing machine. This thing has intelligence. It has intellect. It knows what it's doing, and it is killing purely because it
hunting.
Wants to kill.
I think, but the scene where everybody in the audience just went, when they cut into it and it bleeds acid, you just go, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It you're just like, well, acid, shit. So now what? You can't even.
Yeah, you know. Even if you do kill it, you're out in the middle of space and it's going to burn a hole through your ship.
And one of the most brutal scenes is the chest scene where the creature pops out of the chest because you finally understand why this creature had latched onto his face and what's happening.
Yeah.
It's laying eggs inside me.
That's scary as hell. You're always worried about like putting any kind of face mask on. You're always like, don't lay an egg in my face.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have nightmares about this movie.
Yeah, it's the idea that you're just a cocoon.
Yeah, the phallic-looking face hugger.
You are literally a nest for this parasite that is going to feed off you and eat you and kill you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's give those ratings. Jake, what do you give it?
I give it an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Solid 8.
John Sandy.
It's a 9 for me.
Yeah. Patrick.
This is a 10.
All right. Wow. Justine.
Oh, fuck you.
4.
You guys see what I have to deal with?
I know.
What I go home with?
My favorite movie of all time. What do you think, Justine?
I'm waiting for I'm waiting for the 3.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Hey!
Whoa!
I think that was a pity 6. I don't think that was her honest answer.
What do you actually score it?
I'm glad that they gave Sigourney Weaver a chance. Because she's not like the beautiful girl, and she's kind of badass. So.
That's the other cool thing about this movie. She is a badass, strong female lead, and it's not like she falls into this position.
You know, this
from
was,
the start of the movie, she is in charge. She understands what needs to be done. She understands why things need to be done.
You know that this was
It's only the fault of other people she can't get it done.
This character was written for a man, and I don't know what happened, but they said, let's just go ahead and cast Sigourney Weaver, and we won't change the dialogue.
Was Sigourney Weaver like a hot...
No.
Like
she wasn't.
No.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was kind of cool.
She's like a tomboy.
Yeah.
She's like a tomboy. Nobody, she's just kinda...
She's fantastic in this movie. If it was anybody else, this movie would not be as good. She is a true like hero
badass.
In
she's
this movie.
Hero.
She's badass.
And she's like the third in command or something. And
yeah,
she's outthinking everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, I'm in command now.
As a matter of fact, she is on top of it from the beginning. She asks
That's
Ian
what he
Holm,
said.
Why did... Yeah.
She knows something's up, too,
I know.
She because she's
him,
like,
don't
hey,
you know you
the protocol is not to let them in. Why
yeah.
did you do this?
Yeah.
You know I'm in charge when everybody's off the ship. What's wrong with you? Oh, I wasn't thinking. He's like, yeah, you weren't thinking because you're a horrible android.
Or he was thinking.
But it's funny because she's onto it before anybody. She's all,
she knows there's something's wrong.
This is going to be a problem, yeah.
John, what did you give it?
A 9.
9? All right, I'm going to go.
What do you give it?
I'm going to give it an 8. This is an 8 for me. I love it. Good movie. Scary still. Still holds up.
Scares the shit out of me still.
It still does. It's a great movie. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how many sixes you throw at it.
I don't care what I have to live with. It's a good movie.
So for next time, guys, we don't forget
Got
to watch...
Yeah. Bring
Escape,
out your six shooter.
Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Enter the Dragon, and The Godfather.
Oh, before we leave off, there was, I will say, they had the extended version of Alien on HBO for a while. And there's a lot of really cool set stuff that's on there that you don't see in the original. That, like, it's a lot more
it's
Geiger.
A director's cut?
It's extended. It might be director's cut, but it's extended. So, like, there's a lot more art and set design and stuff like that that you don't get to see
you
in
mean
the
like
first.
Deleted scenes?
Yeah.
You know, I've got it, so I'm going
to
watch
it. It's worth it to watch it. It's longer. It's obviously a lot longer, but there is a lot more interesting
you know what?
I'm look and stuff in there.
I'm going to watch that tonight because I rented it from the library.
And Halloween.
It had the extended cut from, like, 2003?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I said maybe somewhere down the line I'll watch that. So
it's a little more stuff with, like, the ship and the crew.
Yeah, yeah, you see a lot more crew stuff, and then there's also, like, when they're actually on the planet, you see some more stuff as far as, like, the original Alien and stuff like that and the ship.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up because we're running out of time. Patrick got real talky there at the end.
Yeah.
He laid low.
Sorry.
Like the alien, then at the end pops out with jazz hands.
Well, he loves this
I
movie.
Know.
It's
we should have done that one first.
No, that's why I'm glad we did this one last because.
Save the best for last.
Mm.
If we had done, you know, like.
Okay,
Michael
stop
Myers.
Talking. Okay, all right, guys. So.
Bye.
Patrick, where can we find you on social media?
Twitter at PDMAC779.
Yes. Jake, where can we find you?
Find me on Twitter at HandsomeDan93.
Justine, where can we find you?
The IG, Justini Weenie.
John, where can we find you?
Wandering around at the library.
Okay, guys, eat lots of candy tonight. Check for razor blades. Stay safe.
Jesus.
Keep your cats indoors.
Yeah.
What else? What else?
Keep your cats indoors.
What else?
Take your insulin shot.
I do that all the time. I don't actually. I'm not on insulin. All right, for everybody here, thanks for watching again. We will be back in 2 weeks with the Digital Movie Club. We'll be back next week with our regular show.
Happy
thanks
Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks to Patrick. Thanks to Jake. Thanks to Justine. Thanks to John Sandy. But thanks to you guys for listening. Follow us on the Twitter at Soup Complex, S-O-U-P Complex. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Soup Complex. And drop us a line at Superiority Complex Show. At gmail.com. If you have ideas for movies on the 70s, keep a list. We'll be asking for those as we get towards the end of the decade, which should be a couple of months from now. But, you know, just so keep it in mind, our closing music today is the theme from Thing for Another World by Dimitri Tomkin. Watch that movie tonight if you possibly can. Really great horror sci-fi. And we will say this transmission ends now. And fight the power and stay spooky.